This is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Military veterans frequently have special circumstances that come to play when they run afoul of the law. Many veterans are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, and other service-related mental health problems. But once convicted of a crime, they're sent to jail, given a criminal record. They can't find work, creating a downward cycle. It's as tragic as it is expensive for the taxpayer. In Bexar County, we have the Veterans Treatment Court, which has a track record of helping veterans get back on track. Richard Hartley is a professor at the UTSA Criminal Justice Department, and he has studied the Bexar County Veterans Treatment Court. And we're joined also on the line with Marlena Kelly. She's here, and she is the Veterans Treatment Court Manager. And we invite you into our conversation as we talk about the treatment court, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Have you been through the Bexar County Veterans Treatment Court, or have you had a family member go through? What was the experience like? You can also email us at thesource@tpr.org, tweet us at @tprsource. And Richard Hartley, Marlena Kelly, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Good to be with you.
So, Marlena, you are the manager of the Veterans Treatment Court. So tell me, explain how it works.
Okay. The first thing we do is we have a criteria for the Veterans Treatment Court. Okay, at one time, our criteria covered combat veterans, but at this time, since the bill was passed and legislation was amended, we now are taking all veterans. I encourage all veterans to apply. Okay, to qualify for the court, you have to have a misdemeanor. We do not have a felony court at this time, so we are only taking misdemeanors. So the veteran would have to have a pending misdemeanor offense. They would have to be a veteran with an honorable or general discharge. The veteran can be, it can be a veteran, it can be active duty, reserves, or the National Guard. They have to be a resident of Bexar County. And next thing is, what we do is we bring them in, assess them, look at their packets, and then once they are screened and we feel they qualify, we then explain the program. And would you like me to go into an explanation of the program?
Just a minute. Let me get a caller in. He's jumped in on this. I do want to have a lot of interaction if we can. 210-614-8980, and Kyle has called in, and let's get him on the air. And Kyle, hi, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I was really happy to hear that you guys are putting the court on the air. It's an excellent resource for veterans. I personally went through it, and I would like to thank Marlena Kelly and the other members of Veteran Court for all their help.
And what was your experience,
Kyle? Thank you.
What was your experience?
It was a great experience. I had an issue, and I turned into a run-in with the law, and they gave me resources to address it. And was able to get control over that part of my life.
Had there not been a treatment court like this and an intervention for you, what do you think would have happened?
My life probably would have fallen apart. I am I'm a working professional. If I have these kind of things on my record, or if I have these kind of issues, I can't do my job. If I can't do my job, I can't put a roof over my family's head. I can't thrive. The court gave me my life back.
Gave you an important second chance.
Yes, sir.
Kyle, thank you so much for calling in. You really helped us bring this into focus. This court does. Let me ask you, Richard Hartley, professor at UTSA. You've studied this treatment court. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, these veterans treatment courts are one of the fastest expanding treatment courts around the country.
These problem-solving courts.
Problem-solving courts. And basically what they do is it's because jurisdictions are looking for alternative methods of dealing with certain types of offenders, in this case, justice-involved veterans. And I would say that these courts are more focused on the offender rather than the offense. And so they screen them, they do risk and needs assessment, and they tailor treatment and court condition needs to each case.
So someone comes in, they look at their life story, because I know they have to write a personal statement in their application in order to become part of the Veterans Treatment Court, and they write about, you know, what do they want to get out of this process? You know, what are they? You have to take full responsibility for any of their wrongdoings. Explain how they developed this sort of mental health or substance abuse problem that they have. They really are expecting the individual who shows up in this courtroom to really think about their situation.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the treatment process, right? Going back into your history and thinking about how you got to the point where you became justice involved. And that's the thing about these problem-solving courts. They take a more of a holistic approach, working with other agencies, so treatment providers, community groups, social service agencies, utilizing the expertise from the community to assist participants to rehabilitate and, in this case, reintegrate back into normal and productive lives, as you heard from Kyle.
Another caller, Noah, is on the line. And Noah, hi, welcome to this. Well, we lost Noah. So Marlena Kelly,
yes.
How important is it that the offender, the person who walks into the courtroom, that they do take responsibility for their actions?
Well, as Dr. Hartley said, that's a big part of the treatment. Once they acknowledge that they have a problem and that they caused the problem, we're here to help them solve that problem. And when they, that's why the statements that they write are so important and so powerful, because many times they can't express what they want to say when they come in and we're interviewing them. But when they sit down and they put pen to paper, you know, they're able to articulate what they're feeling, why they did it, and we get so much from those statements. It's really a, you know, important component of it. And once they acknowledge that they are responsible and they take accountability, they're so much easier to assist them in their needs. And we have to remember when they come, it's not just the need of a mental health issue or alcohol issue. You know, they come to us with their in arrears with rent, utilities. And so we assist them with many resources. And they're proud people. You know, veterans are proud. Proud Americans. So when they come to us, they don't want to divulge all of their personal information. And it's really a tough and difficult process when they first come to us. But they, once they open up, take responsibility, take acknowledgement, realize that they need assistance, it works out fine.
The Bexar County Veterans Treatment Court, we're talking about the work that it's doing in Bexar County and the challenges that it faces and what could happen if it got more resources even, if maybe more people could become part of this court system. If you've been through it, we want to hear your story. The number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Leave no veteran behind. It's more than a slogan for the Bexar County Veterans Treatment Court. As San Antonio calls itself Military City USA, there is a special place for service veterans in the local court system that was founded on the premise of rehabilitation over incarceration. We're joined by Richard Hartley. He's a professor at UTSA's Criminal Justice Department. He's studied the Bexar County Veterans Treatment Court. And Marlena Kelly, she's here, and she is the Treatment Court's manager, and we invite you into the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. And let me ask you, Marlena, at the end of the court process, and they graduate, they get a coin, one of these service, you know, these one of these big coins that the service members have. What's the significance of that?
The coin, what it basically does is let them know that they have completed. It is just, during the military, it's something that is exchanged a lot through the military, I should say. Coins always represent your unit, where you come from. That coin is just representing the court, what you did and how you completed it. And it's just something that they really hold near and dear, actually, at the end when they do get it.
The frequently, the people go through the court system or have to deal with the a victim's impact panel. Richard Hartley, what is that?
That's where they learn a lot about, you know, what types of impact their offenses could have, have.
So they got a DWI, then they could hear stories about victims of people who had lost loved ones to drunk drivers.
Right, so that you realize, okay, my actions, there are consequences for my actions that maybe I hadn't thought about previously.
And does that have a big impact on these?
I think it does. I mean, the veterans, when they're allowed to speak at graduation or for phase promotion, they really do talk about treatment and the effect that it did have on them, and especially the victim impact panel.
So when we talk about this, we're calling it the Bexar County Veterans Treatment Court. Marlena, how important is the treatment word in that description?
Treatment is everything. That is why the word is put in there. It's a treatment court, and a lot of the veterans that come to us, they either have been engaged in treatment or have never engaged in treatment. The treatment component of it helps them to recognize what the problem was and how it can be solved. They can't be accountable if they don't know that there is a problem. Once they go through the treatment, that is when they start finding out who they are, why they are, and why things are happening and how they could correct it.
So the Bexar County Veterans Treatment Court began under former District Attorney Susan Reed. Has it gone through any changes under the new District Attorney LaHood, Richard?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Marlena about that.
Yeah.
I'm not involved in those decisions.
Yes, it has. There, we offer two tracks when you come into our program. Track one is where if you complete our program satisfactory, you complete the entire program, you can have your case dismissed. Okay, track two comes in variables. You could get a track two and get a deferred adjudication. You can get a TRP, and there's different things that you can get under the track two. But that track one is inviting to everyone because everyone would like their case dismissed at the end, which can follow expungement at their expense. You know, but since Mr. LaHood has been here, it used to be the ratio of track one to track two was 80-20. We had 80% track two, 20% track ones. Now it is reversed. We have 80% of it is track ones and 20% is track twos. So it's come a long way. The program has evolved, and we've seen a whole lot more track ones than we've ever seen before.
Is that the same as pretrial diversion, or is
yes, we call it pretrial intervention.
Pretrial intervention.
And yes.
and so now that seems to be very beneficial to the person who shows up there, and they don't want to have this offense on their record. And,
definitely.
And so how does that help an individual, Richard?
Well, I think, you know, recently we've seen some research into how a criminal record can affect the rest of your life and so on and so forth, everything from jobs to schools. And so being able to have it taken away, not be there if they go to get it expunged.
So, but they have to follow the program, right? They have to stick to whatever it is that the judge tells them they got
to
do.
They have to adhere to both treatment components of the program as well as the court conditions. So, you know, there's the accountability. And I think, you know, a lot of people think these specialty court programs, oh, it's treatment, right? It's they're not holding these people accountable. But often the accountability in these courts is maybe even more so than, say, regular probation, because these guys have to come in front of the judge every other week. You have probation there reporting. You have treatment reporting to the judge. And so these courts are really focused on results and making informed decisions. The judge makes decisions based upon that input from both probation and treatment.
All right. We have Noah again online. Let's get him back on. Noah, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm former captain, U.S. Army OIF veteran, and I just want to say a lot of the soldiers I worked with, they had very traumatic experiences. A lot of them deal with issues of PTSD when they come back, but now that I'm a school teacher and I get to see work with kids from a variety of environments, I see kids who grow up in very traumatic environments who suffer with the same symptoms of PTSD, sometimes even worse than any soldier I've ever worked with personally. And I'm wondering what programs are out there for individuals who aren't veterans, because it sounds like a really wonderful program they have for veterans, and I like it. I fully support it, but I think it's something that could be used as a model elsewhere, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you
for calling in, Noah. So let me ask you, Richard Hartley, what else is out there?
You know, Bexar County actually has a number of specialty court programs, domestic violence courts, drug court, the felony drug court, misdemeanor drug court, family drug court. DWI court. So if you're not a veteran and you get a DWI, you know, the possibility is that you could go through DWI court. But I think it's something that a lot of people are talking about. Schools are starting to rethink, you know, things like zero tolerance, right? And focus more on restorative discipline, right? Because they know kids having troubles in school, it's probably there's more of an underlying problem than just what's going on in school.
Right, but we have a specialty court for veterans. Particularly, we need to understand their special problems, but also there are a number of federal resources that are available to help our veterans. So, Marlena Kelly, what do you do to try to make sure that that these veterans are able to use those special federal resources?
Okay, that's part of what we do here. When we bring them in, we first assess them and assess their needs. And as I said, you know, earlier, it's not just the illness that they're dealing with or the alcohol. It is other resources. Some of them are homeless. Some have no food. Some cannot keep their lights on. So they come to us with numerous issues. And what we do is we do use these resources. We have the Justice Outreach where they do the homeless. We pair up with the food banks. We have even here within the court, in the specialties courts, we actually have a little food pantry. So, you know, whatever their need is, they don't leave my office without a resource to help them get to the next level.
But aren't there some sort of programs, maybe with the Department of Veteran Affairs or the VA, these men and women need help, and these are men and women. I don't want people to misjudge that. You know, they need to connect, and sometimes they need help making those connections.
Well, and we also do that for them. Some are not, when they come here, they don't recognize that they can file for VA claims and get benefits. If they need their house redone because of for handicap reasons, we have resources there at the hospitals. The Audie Murphy Hospital has it just has numerous resources in there that we capitalize on every day, and this is who we send our veterans to.
So we have, is it the largest veterans treatment court in the country or one of the largest? I mean, Richard?
It's probably one of the largest. I'm currently working with another person right now looking at 8 different VTCs across Texas, Florida, and North Carolina, and the Bexar County Veterans Treatment Court is by far the biggest. You know, I think average around a little over 100 participants.
Yeah.
And Marlena, is there a backlog of people who want to get in on these courts, but there's only so many slots?
No, I have to say, I'm proud to say, our flow is great. We have a really good flow. Usually, if we're graduating 5, we're bringing in 5. Graduate 10, bringing in 20. We're never at our capacity. We try to keep it manageable because we only have 2 probation officers, so we always want to keep it within a realm that they can handle, and also our treatment team. But so far, so good. We've been able to meet the needs, you know. We haven't had to have a long waiting list.
So what is the secret? What is the secret sauce? What is it that helps turn these men and women around and get them help them get their lives back together?
Well, I
is it the support from fellow veterans?
Yes, that's part of it. When they come to this court, they're taken back into their military days, and that is when you had this discipline. This is when you were told to man or woman up, to do what has to be done, you know, one foot in front of the other. And some of them really appreciate going back to that, that they do feel like there's a lot of structure. There's someone here, just like in the military, when you fail, when you would fall, there's someone there to help pick you up. So that's what they feel, and the camaraderie of being here with other people that's been in boots and understand some of what they're going through.
And Richard, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think also, too, the underlying philosophy is what's referred to as therapeutic jurisprudence, where prosecution, defense, and judge, the court team, you know, work together in a non-adversarial approach so that, you know, it's not the judge barking orders at you, that, you know, you really, they get the sense that the team is there to help them and assist them.
And Marlena, the success rate, I understand it's like almost like 100%.
We're at 97.5, so we're getting there.
That's admirable. The recidivism rate, you know, around that same point.
Right.
And that's because of how long have you been with this court, Marlena?
It'll be 2 years in December.
And have you seen miracles?
Definitely seen miracles. Definitely.
And so do the men, how do they know to get to this court? Does it get figured out, or do they just show up and they get put in there?
Well, what we do is we ask every court here, if it's a veteran, to have their case transferred to our court, to County Court 6, as long as it's a misdemeanor.
But it helps if we get people to know that this is out there. It can help them if they're a veteran. Richard Hartley, professor at UTSA Criminal Justice Department, and also Marlena Kelly, Veterans Treatment Court Manager. Thank you so much. This is The Source on KSTX.